This is High School Football on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Welcome to East Chapel Hill High School. Walter Storholt alongside Jeff Hamlin as we are excited to bring you tonight's game between the East Chapel Hill Wildcats and the visiting Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. Game is underway. Opening kickoff just took place. Bit of a strange play as the referee blew the whistle dead when one of the upbacks received the kick. Didn't appear to have a knee down, but the whistle blew to stop play anyway, despite the fact that that back was having trouble handling the football. Either way, East Chapel Hill will start off with the football tonight and will hand the ball off up the middle as Cedar Ridge will get the stop after just a gain of a couple of yards. Stowe on the handoff as East Chapel Hill runs it up the middle. And, Jeff, a good first down play for East Chapel Hill to start things off tonight.
It went to Colby Owens, the running back, who actually wound up taking that kickoff. The strange play that you mentioned opened the game, Walter. 3-yard pickup to make it second and seven.
So East Chapel Hill will operate just across the 25-yard line. Getting the snap is Stowe. He'll look to hand it off and getting the ball, running up the middle but stopped in the backfield is Owens, trying to find his way back to the original line of scrimmage, and he actually makes it past that for a gain of about one on the play. So it's going to bring up third down and about 5 yards to play with the ball sitting right on the 30-yard line for East Chapel Hill as they look to the near sideline to get the play call.
And already we're seeing East Chapel Hill trying to use its muscle, and this is not something that East Chapel Hill did in prior years.
Stowe drops back into the shotgun, takes the snap, but we had movement along the front line. East Chapel Hill clapping its hands and pointing over at the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves as they think they're going to get a first down out of this call as the referees will conference in the middle of the field.
Let's see what we have here, because the referees are going to make sure that this will be a first down if it's a 5-yard infraction, and it is 5 yards against Cedar Ridge. Now, East wants to make sure that this will be a first down if they go ahead and take that, and that penalty, that is, and it looks like that the side judge has already marked off a first down, and it is a first down.
So they will move the chains. A bit of hesitation on the far side of the field, but they do move things forward. So it'll bring up the first down of the night for East Chapel Hill, and they'll look to continue moving forward on the field with ball at the 40-yard line now on the right hash mark. It'll be a throw out to the left side. It is caught moving across the 40-yard line. Receiver getting a couple of yards on the play, turning that into a nice first down gain. The catch made on the play by John Graham.
And Graham, again, very good at utilizing his quickness, and this is something we're going to see more and more, I think, from East Chapel Hill here throughout the course of this game. They got 8 yards out of that.
And we've got whistles before the next play gets off, and it looks like we've got an equipment issue along the near sideline for Justin Douglas, junior wide receiver for the Wildcats, is going to have to come out of the game to get that issue addressed. And Adam Garzon, a sophomore, will enter into the near side as a receiver. 4 wideouts for East Chapel Hill on second and short from just shy of the 45-yard line. It's going to be a keeper by Stowe, but he goes nowhere, wrapped up in the backfield on the play by Brad Buddington, just one of the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves that got in there to make the stop and bringing Stowe back just in front of the 40-yard line.
Yeah, it's going to be third down out of that now, Walter. It's going to be third down, and we'll call it 4 after a loss back to the 41.
Third and a long 4. East Stowe with 4 wideouts, 1 to the near side, 3 to the far side. Moving right to left along your radio dial. Stowe gets the snap, fires across the middle. Pass is caught. First down up to midfield, just shy of the 50-yard line at the 49 is where John Graham is taken down after making his second catch of the game.
Yeah, and Graham popped wide open that time as Cedar Ridge got beat on a blitz on that play. And the officials wind up getting the first down. East is doing a very good job of popping the ball out. Stone, even though he's extremely young, is very, very good at knowing when to release the ball, and he doesn't let the pressure get to him. Another solid first down play there.
Beautiful throw by Stowe on that play. Quick delivery, threw it right where Graham would be able to make the catch. East getting the call now as the band kicks up, adding to a good atmosphere here at East Chapel Hill High School tonight. Stowe in the shotgun. Standing next to him on his left is Owens. There'll be a man in motion coming to the near side. It'll be Stowe with the keeper up the middle as Cedar Ridge, all but one player, fell for the fake handoff. That player was able to grab Stowe from behind and eventually haul him down, but Stowe, with a good low center of gravity, churns his way across the 45-yard line to make it second and 4.
Yeah, another solid play that time by Stowe, and he's running the zone read on the option. Did a spectacular job that time. And knowing exactly when to go. And East is going without a huddle. And one thing you notice right away about East is how used they are to this offense. Despite the 0-2 start, they have a tempo and they have a rhythm extremely early in this game.
Man in motion to the near side once again. This time they will complete the handoff. Coming to the near sideline, trying to turn it upfield for the first down on the play. A good run by the wideout coming around the corner before being taken out of bounds. We do not have a number on the wide receiver.
It's number 84, something we didn't get a memo on, unfortunately. That's how it is sometimes in high school.
Could be a change of numbers for one of the guys. There are several wide receivers in that 80 vicinity. We'll see if we can get some clarification on that on our next break. So it's first down for East Chapel Hill after getting across the 40-yard line. They are in Cedar Ridge territory. Ball on the 38 on the left hash mark. Two wideouts on either side on this play. Runner going to the near side. It'll be a keeper from Stowe as he rolls to the right. Cuts back inside to miss one tackler. Down across the 35-yard line. Still churning his feet as he carries two defenders along with him to lean forward for a good pickup on first down.
And again, that's Stowe's experience. And granted, he's very, very young, but he's already got very good instincts as a quarterback as to when to tuck the ball over and run with it. Did an excellent job that time, and he got 5 yards out of that.
Stowe with decent size at 6 feet tall on the depth chart, 175 pounds. Here's the snap from the shotgun. Doesn't even take a step back.
Oh.
Fires it across the middle of the field, in and out of the arms of Jack Hankins. Hankins almost was able to haul that in for a first down to the 20-yard line, but instead could not hold on, and good pressure by the Cedar Ridge secondary that time.
This is going to be the second third down on this drive, Walter. One has been converted via penalty, and certainly East is going to look very closely now as they bring in number 25, Chris Fowler, into the game as a third down back. Keep your eye on him.
5'9", 170 pounds, very quick back. Here's the snap. He'll be a blocker on this play. Stowe looks the pass, throws it. It is caught, coming to the near side. First down and more. Down the left sideline goes the running back, Colby Owens, and he gets down inside the 20, almost to the 10-yard line for East Chapel Hill. He lined up as a wideout that time, and Jeff, even though he's a big, top-heavy runner, he really showed off some speed down the sideline that time.
Got 22 yards out of that and did a spectacular job with some balance. He's a burly type of fullback player, but he's also multidimensional.
And he made a great catch on that play, and so it'll be with 7 minutes and 41 seconds remaining here in the first quarter from East Chapel Hill High School, the Wildcats on their first drive of the game, trying to put up the first score of the game. Ball on the left hash mark, near side. It'll be a handoff, flag in the air. Running around the right side of the defense and being tackled out of bounds on the play is John Graham. Good pursuit by Cedar Ridge's Chris McCoy. The junior got there in time to haul him down, but this is going to be coming back anyway for East Chapel Hill. Ball will no longer be on the 12 as they're going to get pushed back.
Yep. The flag was thrown. It looks like Graham, the young man who wound up as the ball carrier, was in motion early. And the coaching staff for East is not happy about that turn of events at all, because here they are, they're rolling, they're having opportunity for their first lead of the season, and they commit an immature penalty.
We've got Hartford Zirkle patrolling the sidelines, and we'll get an update from him on his thoughts on tonight's game and what he's seen from this first drive of East Chapel Hill.
It's going to be
coming
a motion
at the end of the drive.
Yeah, motion penalty called. So it's going to be first down and 15 coming up here after that 5-yard mark off.
Knocking the Wildcats back to the 17. Four wideouts, two on each side. Here's the snap, three-step drop. Stowe evades one tackler, now rolls to his right, lofts a pass into the end zone, wide open. Standing still for the catch is Jack Hankins. Getting taken down after the play was Stowe.
Wow.
Looks like we're going to have a late hit on the quarterback as well, and Stowe is slow to get up as well. Jeff, you saw that happen.
Yeah, the head official wasted no time in throwing a flag there, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a player disciplined for that further than a penalty, because Stowe is still shaken up, and he was hit a good two steps after he let go of the ball. That could have been prevented. That officials have told each team to go to the bench.
And
touchdown
they are
is good.
To signal touchdown, as that was obvious, as Stowe fired a beautiful pass to Jack Hankins, who had gotten wide open in the end zone. Roughing the passer is then called against Cedar Ridge.
I think the East staff wants further punishment for the guilty party. The official does have to make a movement with his arm as to whether a player has been ejected during the penalty. And they're going to say that the penalty will be enforced on the kickoff, so no ejection.
It made a move with the arm. We thought for a second that may have been the ejection move. And now the head coach for Cedar Ridge, Chris Casey, is coming out to midfield for explanation, and I think he's making sure that his player didn't just get ejected, and that is the case. He's been explained that the penalty will be assessed on the kickoff, so that is the case. And now we've got a timeout called by the East Chapel Hill Wildcats before the extra point attempt. So while we have a moment, let's send it down to Hartford Zirkle along the sideline and get his impressions on what's happened in this first drive. Hartford's been down there for the opening drive for the Wildcats, and we'll see what he has to think about this drive that they've been able to complete so far. Hartford?
Yeah, and one thing that we're really looking at right now is Connor Stout and his injury. It looks to be as he is back on the field, but it looks to be his ribs, so we'll keep an eye out on that.
All right, so maybe a rib injury on Connor Stowe. He is, as Hartford mentioned, back out on the field now for the extra point, so must not be too serious. And it did see when he was getting up on that play where he was taken down, like he was grabbing either his back or his rib cage area. Either way, good news to see him back in to be the placeholder for this extra point attempt. That'll be put up by Ellis Llewellyn.
East Chapel Hill's been solid, and this is their first lead of the season. An important step for this team. They needed some confidence, and sure enough, they got it.
6-0, trying to make it 7-0. Here's the snap. Spot kick is up, and it is good by Llewellyn. And East Chapel Hill has your lead, 7-0. 7 minutes and 19 seconds remaining here in the first quarter over the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. We'll take a quick timeout and be back with more high school football here on Newstalk 1360 WCHL and chapelboro.com.
Many people who switch their car insurance to GEICO for the savings end up staying for the excellent customer service. That's why GEICO works very hard to make sure every customer is satisfied. In fact, GEICO's customer satisfaction is 97%. And the 3% who aren't satisfied? Well, there's just no pleasing some people. But we're working on it.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Attention Carolina fans, Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole lot more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building your dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carrboro or check us out online at FitchLumber.com. Go Tar Heels!
High School, Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you here as East Chapel Hill has the lead 7-0, their first lead of the 2013 season, and they get to kick off in Cedar Ridge territory, and it'll be fielded inside the end zone for an automatic touchback. Makes it nice and easy on the kick coverage team for East Chapel Hill, not having to worry about any type of return there. And so now we'll get to see the Cedar Ridge offense for the first time tonight, Jeff.
And it was an 11-play, 75-yard drive, Walter. That time for the Wildcats, they only had one negative play on the drive and just one incompletion. Overall, very solid drive. Now we see what the Red Wolves can do.
It'll be Pappas in the shotgun here. He's got one back to his right. Julius Walton will be the running back. Two receivers, or one receiver to the near side, three to the left. It'll be Pappas keeping it himself as he rolls to the short side. Jukes one defender, stiff arms a second defender, and finally gets driven out of bounds. We do have a flag that was thrown back as he was making one of his first moves.
Yeah, it was Chris McCoy, his wideout to the side. He wound up blocking one of the East Chapel Hill players, number 13, in the back, just as Pappas was making his juke move, and that's the reason for the penalty.
And so this will likely be a bad way to start off the drive for Cedar Ridge, as we'll wait for the official word from the referees as they're looking at where the spot of the flag was to mark off the penalty.
Looks like it's going to take the ball all the way back to the 13-yard line because it happened 3 yards in front of the line of scrimmage.
10-yard penalty is going to make it first and long here as the ball comes back inside the 15 to the 14. So needing to get to the 30-yard line for a first down now. Cedar Ridge still has first down, so they have plenty of time to get there. It'll be Pappas dropping back, looking for the pass this time. He'll throw it out to the left side. It's taken 5 yards ahead of the line of scrimmage. Getting back to the original line of scrimmage on the play is the receiver, Jonathan Hall, and a decent gain there on first down will make it a more manageable second down play coming up.
They went to the wide side of the field that time, Walter, and Cedar Ridge, just like East Chapel Hill, going without a huddle, but they went to the side of the field where East simply didn't have as many players, and it worked for them.
Pappas 14 of 25 passing on the season. He'll hand it off this time up the middle. Not a whole lot of room there. Both teams piling up on the running back, trying to move the pile. It eventually just stalls out past the line of scrimmage. It's going to bring up third down as the ball gets worked across the 25-yard line, close to the 30. It's going to be third down and a long two.
Yeah, Walton that time with the carry, and he wound up getting it to the 27.
Here's the snap. Pappas looks near side. He's got some blockers on the screenplay, making a move to the outside, looking for the first down and more. He's got room running down the sideline. With it is Chris McCoy, finally dragged out of bounds inside the 25. The man that got there to bring him down was Brandon Miles for the Wildcats, a touchdown-saving tackle.
No question about it, because McCoy just roared out into the open field, and East defense really continues to struggle. As that time, Cedar Ridge comes up with a huge play as it works all the way down to the 25. Turns into a 48-yard pickup.
The no-huddle offense working well for Cedar Ridge on this drive despite that bad first penalty they took. Spin move in the backfield by Walton. He's going to be dragged down.
Oh.
Two different East Chapel Hill Wildcats getting in there for contact. The first one there was Ian Levin, one of the captains of this squad. The second man there was Issy Settles. And Settles was the man who brought Walton down to the ground eventually.
Levin is one of the top linebackers on this team, Walter. He might be tops in terms of speed and pure defensive ability.
Loss of five on the play. It'll be second and 15. Pappas, three-step drop. Now he'll run it up the middle. Splits to the right side. Thinks about passing again. Now pulls it back down. Eventually throws. He was across the line of scrimmage, though, when he threw. Pass is caught down to the 10.
Whoa.
And they did not catch it as he stepped across the line of scrimmage and then stepped back before making the throw, but no flags on the play. The East Chapel Hill coaching staff doesn't seem to be appealing for a flag on the play either. So
he
maybe Cedar Ridge gets away with one.
Yep, he just kept that foot back, and it's going to be a first down. This will be a first and 10, not quite beyond the range of scoring.
And it's Pappas throwing out to the left side. He overthrows his receiver, but a fantastic one-handed catch by Jonathan Hulse. Didn't really get much yardage on the play, but was able to haul it in and move the ball inside the 10-yard line. What a beautiful catch.
That was a Wes Welker type of grab to stick his hand up there. For those who go way back for the night, for tonight's 1980s NFL reference, that was a Dwight Clark catch.
It wouldn't be a Jeff Hamlin broadcast without a 1980s reference.
That's right.
Let alone one in the NFL. Glad we got it here in the first quarter with 4 minutes and 50 seconds to play. East holding on to a 7-0 lead, but Cedar Ridge putting together a magnificent drive after they took what sometimes would be a drive-killer opening penalty.
Can't emphasize that catch by Hall enough. That was a fantastic grab. One arm.
Here's the handoff. It'll be Walton moving off the right tackle. Splits up the middle, looking for the end zone. Did he get in? Yes. Touchdown, Cedar Ridge, and they're 1 point away from tying the game.
Just a quick hitter right up the middle, and it was a perfect run that time by Walton as he streaked forward. And both of these teams had a wide array of skill players carry the ball, touch the ball on their initial drives, each of them going for touchdowns.
Don't think we're going to see another 10-6 game like we did last year.
No.
As lining up for the extra point will be Brandon Ferris. It'll be Pappas on the hold. Spot is down, kick is up, and it's a spinning kick that missed just to the left of the goalpost. So maybe we could have a 10-6 game. I take that back. All East Chapel Hill needs is a field goal, and we're there. It's 7-6 right now. Wildcats just teaches you don't speak so soon. But I think we're going to have some more scoring tonight based on the way these two offenses are moving the ball. 7-6 East Chapel Hill over Cedar Ridge with 4 minutes and 30 seconds to play in the first quarter. It'll be East Chapel Hill ball when we come back. You're listening to high school football on Newstalk 1360 WCHL and chapelboro.com.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Brandon Ferris will kick it off for Cedar Ridge as the ball is on the 40-yard line, and he is lining it up on the right hash mark with the majority of the team on the other side of the field as if they're lining up for an onside kick, just the way the formation is. Don't believe it will be an onside kick, but it is a kind of a blooper as they pop it high in the air, and a fair catch is called for by East Chapel Hill, and it's Colby Andrade who put the hand in the air and made the catch. No bobbling that time around. And now that I think back to the opening kickoff, Jeff, that must have been the case.
Yeah.
There must have been just a very subtle signal that the referee was able to see for a fair catch as he was trying to haul in the opening kickoff, and that's why they blew it dead without any knees being down.
Yeah, they're going with the old sky kick strategy is Cedar Ridge. They're sacrificing, say, 10 yards of field position in lieu of trying to give up something big to the East receivers.
So East will start on the 30-yard line, just across it, actually, at the 31. After a fake handoff, Stowe will keep it himself, running to the right side. He's got 5 yards across the 35-yard line before being taken down on the play. But again, East doing a nice job of getting good yardage on first down, making it easier to move those chains.
Stowe wound up getting 7 on that play, Walter. Again, as you mentioned, it comes from good starts on first down, and that's how East Chapel Hill is building these touchdown drives early in this game. Both of these teams opening up in a good rhythm offensively.
Stowe communicates with his offensive line. 3 wideouts to the near side. Ball on the far side of the field as East Chapel Hill moves from right to left. The handoff will go up the middle on the play, moving across the first down marker. Now we've got flags coming in late. Getting the ball on the play was Davis for East Chapel Hill. He will have the first down unless it's coming back, and it will. The flag going against the Wildcats.
Yeah, it's going to be a holding penalty called against East, and it's going to take the ball back to the 28-yard line. The Wildcats have had some pretty solid blockers there right up the middle, Walter. As you see, 63 for East. Dan Evers do a very good job. He might have actually been the one there, though, guilty of the hold.
We know why he did such a good
job. Yes, that's right. And that's going to make it second down and all the way back to the 27-yard line. It's going to make it second and 14.
So East Chapel Hill will now settle back in and have to overcome a little bit of adversity on this drive, taking another crucial penalty, erasing what would have been a first down. Stowe with a 3-step drop, pump fake, still holding onto the ball, hopping up and down, trying to find something, still in the pocket, finally releases across the middle of the field, and it's almost picked off. Diving for it was Chris McCoy, who has been everywhere for this Cedar Ridge defense. He got the arms underneath the ball, but it fell through the breadbasket and hit the ground underneath him. Stowe was trying to launch that one deep and just missed his receiver by several yards.
Yeah, Stowe might have taken his chances there a little bit too much because he was going for his favorite receiver and Jack Hankins on that play, but he threw that one well into double coverage. And for the first time tonight, the pressure was catching up to Stowe. Pass rush is coming for the Red Wolves.
So it'll be third and 14. East needs to get to the 42-yard line for a first down. Stowe will throw out to the right side. Now across the middle, he actually looks. Ball tipped into the air multiple times as trying to get a handle on it was Colby Owens. Great defensive pressure on the play by Elijah Richardson, defensive back for the Red Wolves, as he then had the ball bobble off of his fingertips after it couldn't be hauled in by Colby Owens, and it's going to bring up fourth down, and the punting unit is on for the Wildcats.
And Richardson nearly hauled that one in. Got to admire the job, though, that the East offensive line is doing. Good block that time by Ron Siminski at the tackle position. He may not be completing these last couple of passes, but certainly Stowe has had time to throw them.
Will Rivenbank is back to kick it off for East Chapel Hill. He's standing with his heels on the 11-yard line. It's a high floating snap, and Rivenbank, with no pressure, able to get a nice punt off. It's fielded at the 37-yard line, taken up field by Julius Watson, Walton, and Walton down to the 45-yard line into East Chapel Hill territory. Great field position to start this drive out for the Red Wolves.
So it turns into a solid, solid play here. And tell you what, East Chapel Hill now has some problems when it comes to field position as the ball goes to the 45-yard line. And it'll be first down coming up. Cedar Ridge moving left to right.
3 minutes, 10 seconds remaining here in the first quarter. 7-6 the score. East Chapel Hill with the lead. Shotgun. Some miscommunication on the handoff, but eventually Pappas gets back to the line of scrimmage, falls forward for a gain of 1 to the 44. Looked like nobody knew who the ball was exactly supposed to go to on that play, and no room for Pappas to operate.
I think Pappas was expecting Hunter to take it, but Hunter just ran right past him. Walton ran past him, so he had to ad lib.
He's got Walton standing right next to him in the backfield now. He fakes the handoff. Pappas looks to his left, under pressure, throws it in between two different receivers. Interference penalty is going to be called against East Chapel Hill after the receiver for Cedar Ridge got bumped down on the play. We don't have a name for the player with the jersey number 16 on the field, but he did a good job to draw the penalty.
I think that's Shamar Miles, Walter, who was for Cedar Ridge, who wound up as that mysterious player, but pass interference. Boy, that's a tough call. Marcus Edwards doing a good job getting some pressure around in for East, but the pass interference call is going to give Cedar Ridge a first down.
Looks like Matt Murdy was the receiver for Cedar Ridge. His 3 on the back is crumpled a little bit, and the angle made it look like a 1, which there isn't a 16. It is 36, so it's Murdy who was out there drawing the penalty.
This is going to be 15 yards as it came well down the field. It's not spotted the foul like it is in the NFL, so it's going to be a 15-yard mark off here.
It's going to be first down for Cedar Ridge with time continuing to wind down here in the first quarter. Clock stopped right now as they mark off the penalty with 2 minutes and 39 seconds to play. But Cedar Ridge, after the penalty, now inside the 30-yard line, threatening to enter the red zone. And this offense looking to take the lead over East Chapel Hill on this drive. Now, on the short side of the field, Cedar Ridge has lined up 3 wide receivers. We'll see if they go to the strong side or the near side. It'll be Pappas keeping it himself after a fake, but he is taken down in the backfield. All over him on the play was Issy Settles. Settles was not going to let Pappas get away that time, and it took him down for a big loss.
And Settle's doing a good job. East is gambling some, Walter, offensively. They're blitzing some corners. They're throwing all sorts of things at Pappas here. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens as he tries to adjust to that, because they're doing all sorts of unique things here to him.
2:15 and counting here in the first quarter. Now second and rolling to the near side as Pappas, 3 Wildcats in pursuit. Throws to the near sideline, in and out of the fingertips of Chris McCoy. Even if he had hauled that in, may not have been able to get a foot in bounds, and so it's going to bring up third and long. Cedar Ridge needing to get to the 19-yard line to have a chance of getting the first down here.
And McCoy last week wound up as the leading receiver in the game for Cedar Ridge as he wound up with 6 receptions. Big third down and 15 here.
So Cedar Ridge seems to have a little bit of confusion on exactly what they want to do to set up the offense as the wide receivers are trying to communicate with Pappas. Now they'll split 2 out to each side. Still in the backfield alongside Pappas is Walton. It's going to be a pass. Pappas looking downfield has to scramble to his left. A couple of players in pursuit. He'll fire it. It is completed along the left sideline. Cutting back across the middle of the field on the play is Matt Murdy. He did not get the first down, but he at least made it a more manageable situation. Great defensive play by Colby Owens, who was in pursuit of Pappas on the play for the Wildcats, and he grabbed him by the shirt tail, trying to grab him down to the ground, and somehow, Jeff, Pappas gets that pass off and completes it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how he got that off, but he actually one-handed that ball, it looked like, down the field and managed to get it to Murdy regardless.
Going for it on fourth down, and now we've got a whistle and a timeout called by Cedar Ridge. We'll keep it right here with a minute and 24 seconds to play. Big decision here, Jeff, because if you go for the field goal, although you missed the extra point when you were down here after scoring just a few minutes ago, but you at least give your team a chance to convert here and maybe go up 9-7 on the Wildcats. But instead, they're going to go for it on fourth down. And based on what you've seen so far in the game tonight, what do you think they're drawing up on the sideline over there?
I think they're going with something regarding trying to get the ball in Julius Walton's hands, because Walton had a very good first drive tonight for Cedar Ridge in this contest. He has been solid so far carrying the football as he wound up with that 4-yard gain. And then McCoy, of course, had the 48-yarder that broke the ball on the initial drive into East Chapel Hill territory. And ultimately, it was Walton who scored the touchdown. You're in a short-distance situation here. You're obviously not going to kick the ball and go for the field goal, which would be 40 yards in this situation. So I'm looking for Walton to get the ball in his hands, and it looks like they're going with an empty backfield.
Fourth and five, needing to get to the 18 for the first down. Five receivers, three to the left, two to the right. Cedar Ridge, three-step drop for Pappas. He'll now step forward, throws it into the end zone. It is knocked down, incomplete in the end zone. Wonderful defensive play by East Chapel Hills. Brandon Miles and Jeff, he was the player that was whistled for the pass interference a few moments ago that put Cedar Ridge in such a threatening position, and he redeems himself there by knocking that pass away.
No question, and also give credit to Chris Alston, who was providing pressure from behind on the play, and he forced Pappas into that throw. So a good stand by the East defense, and now they set up first down and 10.
So Cedar Ridge can't punch it in after having starting field position at the 45-yard line in Wildcat territory. Now it's East Chapel Hill starting off with the ball on the 23. Two wideouts to the near side as they move right to left. Fake handoff to the person in motion to the near side. He'll throw it downfield out there. It is caught on the play. Jack Hankins running down the sideline, cuts to the middle of the field. Two men to beat, stays on his feet, and gets into the end zone for the touchdown. A 77-yard touchdown pass on the play from Stowe to Hankins, and East Chapel Hill extends the lead to 13-6.
That was a simple go pattern right there for Hankins, and he simply blew by the free safety who could never catch up with him. What a job by Hankins. That's his fourth receiving touchdown of the year.
Beautiful play, and it's his second touchdown of the game. East Chapel Hill looking for its first win of the season, and they're well on their way now after touchdown number two here in the first quarter. Extra point attempt will be attempted by Llewellyn, and we've got whistles and a flag before the attempt ever happened. It's encroachment against Cedar Ridge, and we'll see if East Chapel Hill decides to continue to kick the extra point or if maybe they're going to just decline it and allow the kick to take place without having to reposition the ball. So Llewellyn will have to kick it with the band trumpeting in the background. He focuses in. The kick is up, and it is good, straight through the uprights. 14-6. East Chapel Hill with the lead over Cedar Ridge with a minute and 4 seconds to play here in the first quarter. You're listening to High School Football on News Talk 1360 WCHL and chapelboro.com.
Are you tired of spending money on your lawn over and over without getting the results you were promised? Let the pros at Landscape Logic give you the direction and care needed to protect your economic and aesthetic investments. Our commitment to quality and personal service is second to none. Check our references in your neighborhood, Angie's List, and a Better Business Bureau. For a free estimate or to get on our schedule, please call Yvonne at our office at 919-419-1926 or email us at landscapelogicnc@gmail.com.
In the nation, halfway won't cut it. That's why Nationwide Insurance offers brand new belongings. If something in your home is stolen or destroyed, we replace it with a brand new version.
Nationwide is on your side.
Call Mark Vitale, Nationwide Insurance, today at 919-933-4000. Visit Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard or allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Optional feature. Exclusions and limits apply. Damaged items may be repaired. Consult policy language for specifics. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
After taking a 14-6 lead, East Chapel Hill kicks the ball off, and it's a nice deep kick. And having to dive on the play to receive the kickoff was Chris McCoy. And so it'll be bad field position for Cedar Ridge to start off on this third drive of the game for the Red Wolves, Jeff.
Yeah, discretion was the better part of valor in that situation. If McCoy just lets the ball bounce into the end zone, it's a touchback. Instead, McCoy wound up diving for the ball. His knee touched the ground. He can't get up and run with it. So now Cedar Ridge with the ball at their own five.
And they are in trouble on the very first play from scrimmage as the pass is incomplete. Having to be careful not to throw it backwards in that situation.
And I'll tell you what, that was real close.
With 1 minute to play here in the first quarter, it's 14-6. Ball on the five-yard line now, second and 10. Cedar Ridge deep in their own territory. They'll play it safe this time and hand it off to Walton up the middle. He drags a couple of defenders forward, and Cedar Ridge will have a little bit of breathing room as he gets out to the 10.
Yeah, Cedar Ridge got away from their running game the last couple of drives here, Walter, and I thought that was where they were the most successful because they were really testing the meat of that East Chapel Hill defense, and even though East is getting more pressure around the edge, they still have a hard time defending the run.
So it'll be third down now with the ball on the 10-yard line, needing to get to the 15 for the first down. They'll pass it, screen pass out to the left side. It's going to be close. Reaching for that first down marker is Jonathan Hall, the 6'3" sophomore wide receiver for this Red Wolf squad, and it looks like that will move the sticks as they'll mark him at the 16.
That will be a first down, and it was an important one for Cedar Ridge because they put themselves in a hole to begin this drive. But some more sure-handedness by Jonathan Hall, who does have some Dwight Clark in him. That was another one-arm catch, although not quite as impressive. He got the job done. He got 6 when he needed 4.
Been a SportsCenter top 10 on that catch if he'd been in the end zone earlier on in the game.
That's true.
And that one was equally as impressive, albeit not as spectacular, as Cedar Ridge will just let the time wind off the clock. 14-6 is our score. Wildcats leading Cedar Ridge. They'll flop sides, and then Cedar Ridge will try and continue this drive when we come back here on Newstalk 1360 WCHL and Chapelboro.com's High School Football Game of the Week.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome to the landscape. This is Brian Pop with Landscape Logic. Don't just overseed this fall, but improve the condition of your soil by aerating and top dressing your lawn with the organic soil conditioner. This will create an avenue for water and nutrients so they can get to the root zone of the plant where it is needed, saving you money. For a free estimate or to get on our schedule, please call Yvonne at our office at 919-419-1926 or email us at landscapelogicnc@gmail.com. We'll see you next time in the landscape.
Welcome back to High School Football here on Newstalk 1360 WCHL and Chapelboro.com as East Chapel Hill defense is settling back in and Cedar Ridge's offense trying to move the football down the field once again after getting a first down a few moments ago at the end of the first quarter. As we are just underway in the second quarter, flags fly, though, on the snap, and Cedar Ridge is going to have to take a few steps back here after a false start.
So it'll be 5 more yards here against the Red Wolves. And tell you what, Cedar Ridge is not doing themselves any favors when it comes to penalties here, as they have wound up in a very difficult situation. Now it's 1st and 15 at their own 12, just moments after getting a first down.
Handoff will go to Walton up the middle. He runs into a wall. Several East Chapel Hill players there plugging up the middle. Among them was Vince Harrington, 5'11", 260-pounder. No room to maneuver for Walton on the play, and he'll still be well behind the original line of scrimmage. And it's going to bring up 2nd and 14 on the play. So with the ball on the 12, near sideline, looking to pass to his right. It is over the head of the intended receiver and picked off. Intercepted by East Chapel Hill. Now the run back continues over to the left side. Now cutting back to the right on the play. With it is Hubbard. Hubbard trying to make his way to the end zone. Down inside the 10 before finally being taken down. And then a late flag comes in. Now an additional late flag even after that one. So we'll see how this gets sorted out. But they're all after the interception, which means East is going to have the football.
Yeah, this was initially a hold on the return, so the interception will stand. Boy, a great play that time, though, by East, and Miles did a good job in picking that one up, Walter.
And so we'll see exactly what the conversation is of, I believe it was Hubbard with the interception.
Excuse me, you're right, Hubbard.
The senior defensive back, only 5'4", but was able to elevate to get that ball that was overthrown to the receiver. Pappas throwing the interception.
That ball was picked off at the 23, and then we had multiple penalties here.
It's going to be very interesting to see where this ball eventually lands. I counted three flags come out. One, most likely the hold that you mentioned right around the 24-yard line. Then there's another flag came out inside the 5-yard line, and the latest one was all the way back at the 20-yard line, even though it was thrown from about the 15. And they are going to explain the situation to one of the Cedar Ridge captains right now. East Chapel Hill's offense already seems ready to go. They're out on the field, standing around the 30-yard line. Quarterback Connor Stow is ready for play to resume. And so here's the whistle. We've got holding on East Chapel Hill during the return. Another penalty against East Chapel Hill.
Yeah, they called unsportsmanlike dead ball. So both of these will be marked off against East Chapel Hill. You're going to have 10 yards for the block in the back. They'll take it back to the 34, and then you'll have the unsportsmanlike, which will take it all the way to the 49. So East cost themselves 25 yards in penalties there, and perhaps we can get a word from Hartford Zirkle as to what happened to cause the unsportsmanlike.
We'll see as the ball's on the 49-yard line right now. East still technically will be in Cedar Ridge territory when play resumes, as Cedar Ridge's defense is out there on the field, ready to defend. East Chapel Hill with the lead 14-6 with 11 minutes and 19 seconds remaining in the first half. Stow talking to his offense. Among them, wideout Jeremy Hubbard, who got the interception.
Yeah, so it's going to be East ball, first down at the Cedar Ridge 49 after these penalties.
A little bit of a delay as the referees are describing all the different penalties to both the sides of the field here. First communicating with East Chapel Hill's coaches, now finishing up their conversations with Cedar Ridge administrators. And they will get play resuming here in just a moment as everybody looks to be retaking their positions. So East with a first down play here inside Cedar Ridge territory just barely after the penalties. But it'll be first and 10, needing to get to the 39 of the Red Wolves for the first down.
Hubbard with a good return. It was a good attempt by Tyler Hill to try to block for him, but penalties wound up taking it back.
So now play will be able to continue, and Hubbard's actually going to line up at running back next to Stow on this play. Gets a man in motion going to the far side of the field. It'll be the handoff to Hubbard. He gets to the 50-yard line, now across the 45, looking to get past the 40, and he's got a first down pickup on his first carry of the game.
Well, if you're going to carry it on defense, you might as well carry it on offense as well, because that's exactly what he did, and he had a good seam up the middle. It's been a long time since we've seen East Chapel Hill run the ball this efficiently, Walter.
That's a great point, Jeff, because with the past couple of seasons, it's been more of an air raid attack. Just, I think there was one game where they threw it only once or twice in ran it only once or twice the entire game, at least a run that wasn't coming from Drew Davis. There were a few quarterback runs in there, but not to your stereotypical running back. Here's a handoff to the near side. The wideout in motion gets the ball. It's Hankins, who has two touchdown receptions on the night. Gets a few yards across the 35-yard line. It'll create a more manageable second down play here. Cedar Ridge, a lot of hands on hips on that defense right now as they try to figure out exactly what they need to do to stop this East Chapel Hill offense, which seems to be rolling with some decent momentum.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jeremy Hubbard is doing some real yeoman's work in there. He's not the biggest, but he threw a good block to free up the four-yard run by Hankins, and he's going to stay in the game as the lone back in the backfield on second and six.
Hubbard standing at the 39, ball just across the 35, the 34. Hubbard gets the handoff, goes up the middle, splits to the left side off the left guard, looking for the first down at the 28, 27-yard line. We get a whistle, and they are signaling first down for East Chapel Hill. So they've moved the chains once again, ball now inside the 30-yard line.
Grant Buderbaugh and Ron Siminski, the pulling guards on that play. And even though it's no huddle, that was basic football. That was pulling guard football, and it results in a first down off the fine run by Hubbard.
Hubbard finally gets a breather as he comes to the sideline. Chris Fowler now back into the game for East Chapel Hill at running back. It'll be a snap to Stow. Stow looking downfield, throws to the left, a short pass. The near slot receiver was coming across the middle of the field, running just about a five-yard route, ended up coming back a little bit closer to make the catch. Not a big pickup on first down as Owens made the catch. And East Chapel Hill now gets the call from the sideline on second and nine after only a pickup of one.
Good pursuit by the Cedar Ridge linebackers on the play as Harbin Allison wound up making the tackle. East Chapel Hill leads 14-6. We have 9 minutes and change remaining in the first half.
Stow in the shotgun. Two receivers to either side. It'll be a handoff. bringing the ball to the near sideline is John Graham, and he is sacked, or excuse me, taken down in the backfield. Never got back to the original line of scrimmage. Matt Murdy in on the stop for Cedar Ridge, as well as another player.
Yeah, it was Ben Rice who also got in there. They both read that play extremely well because Graham, the second he got the ball, was immediately wrapped up and dropped. So it's third and now 12.
Just when it looked like East Chapel Hill had all the momentum, a big opportunity here for Cedar Ridge's defense to come up with a stop. Three wideouts to the left, one to the right for East Chapel Hill. Shotgun formation. Here's the snap. Looking left, the throw from Stout. Taken. Handled by Owens, but he only gets a few yards on the play. It's going to be fourth and about seven coming up. And this will be an interesting decision for East Chapel Hill to decide what they need to do here, Jeff.
Yeah, another good play by Ben Rice in the Cedar Ridge secondary as he made a sure-handed tackle. Now you're looking at a fourth down situation. You're looking at fourth and seven here. And East is going to go for it here. And don't be surprised if Hankins is the man that gets the target. They're going to go with trips to the far end of the field.
Need to get to the 17 for the first down. Here's the throw. It is high and intercepted by Cedar Ridge. And there's a lane down the near sideline if they've got enough speed. And trying to turn it upfield is Walton. He'll cut back to the middle. Finally gets hit by the quarterback, Stow. Taken down inside the 45 at the 43. And just how East Chapel Hill was able to flip the momentum of intercepting an overthrown pass. Cedar Ridge returns the favor with Walton grabbing that one and a very good return for the Red Wolves.
Yeah, he brought it all the way back to the East Chapel Hill 43. Doesn't look like either one of these teams right now can stand prosperity.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Both teams with offenses that look like they could move the ball very well, and now they're starting to shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak, with the turnovers and the interceptions that we've seen with 7:42 remaining here in the second quarter. Cedar Ridge wastes no time, gets the playoff quickly. Pappas comes to the near sideline, eventually working his way out of bounds. He did get across the line of scrimmage and was stopped just shy of the 40-yard line in East Chapel Hill territory.
Both teams had chances here. Cedar Ridge had a golden opportunity to take the lead after inheriting a possession that started inside East Chapel Hill's territory at the 45, but that went nowhere. And now East gives it right back when they could have at least had three.
So the ball, the 41-yard line, it'll be second and eight. Trips to the right, one receiver to the near side. Ball on the left hash mark as Cedar Ridge moves from right to left. Fake handoff, misdirection. Play goes up the middle at the 40-yard line. Ball came loose. East Chapel Hill dives on it. Wildcats think they have it. Waiting for a signal from the referee as they come up from the pile. East is already back to the sideline, and they have it. The man who emerges with the ball is Issy Settles, who's been causing problems in the backfield all night. And the Wildcats have forced another turnover.
Yep, and Izzy comes up with a big play.
I like watching him play. He's made some big plays, stopping running backs in the backfield, and now he forces the fumble to get East Chapel Hill's offense the ball back.
So East gets it right back here. Izzy Settles comes up with the fumble recovery as Ben Rice coughed it up, and now East comes away with the ball. First down.
WCHL Championship Sports High School Games of the Week are presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance. Before the play gets off, we've got a false start called against East Chapel Hill. It's going to make it first and 15 now. With 7 minutes, 22 seconds remaining in the first half, you mentioned in the pregame show, Jeff, how the Orange versus Riverside contest tonight probably already over by now by all the running that's going to be happening in that game. In this game, it's another story with all the passing that we've seen.
Yeah.
It's taken a while for this first half to tick by.
Yeah, and we've also seen a lot of penalties, and it's been sloppy play from both ends at times.
So first and 15, it'll be a handoff on first down, running left, and now cutting it up the middle on the play is Fowler. He lowered his shoulder and got a good hit in on the DB who tried to take him down. Slowly picking himself back up off the ground was John Williams of Cedar Ridge, and that's a good first down pickup after being knocked back with the penalty. East Chapel Hill able to get the ball all the way to the 45, and it'll bring up a more manageable second and six.
And Fowler had to show some power there because he didn't get a good burst off the left side. Excellent job blocking and turns this into a second and six.
Stow getting the East Chapel Hill offense moving once again here. Good second down play here will help them be in business. Running up the middle once again is Fowler. He's got the first down across the 50, the 45, taken down at the 42-yard line. So it'll be another first down for East Chapel Hill. And things are moving right now for the Wildcats, Jeff.
Absolutely. Looking at rushing leaders so far, Fowler now with two rushes for 23 yards. So far, there have been six East Chapel Hill players rush the football, and there have been three receivers. Colby Owens with three receptions, but Jack Hankins, two receptions, 94 yards, and, of course, the two touchdowns that has East up by eight with 6:23 remaining in the first half.
Hankins piling up a good game here in the early going. Here's the pass out to the near sideline. It's taken by DJ Heckney. Heckney trying to cut back to the middle field. He's still on his feet after getting hit multiple times, but it just went from bad to worse as he was driven back behind the 45-yard line. Now, they'll give him forward progress and put him just in front of that 44-yard line. We'll call it the 44. It'll bring up second and 12, and an unfortunate loss on first down for the Wildcats that time.
Yeah, technically that was a run because it was a lateral, but it was a loss of two for Retney, I should say, who was a junior varsity call-up in midweek here, Walter. Second and 12.
Stahl motions to the trips on the far side of the field to spread out some more. He'll get the snap and hand it off. Going up the middle is Fowler. He gets hit low and is taken down just across the line of scrimmage. Got tackled right around the hamstring in the quad area. Didn't have anywhere to go. A good stop on the play by the Red Wolves defense.
That's right. It was Ben Rice who charged in from the free safety position. He read that one all the way, and he had been burned by it a couple of times tonight. He wasn't burned there, so it's going to be third down and nine.
Rice has had his name called a couple of times tonight, getting in on the action for this defensive squad. Third and nine. Another big play is coming back into the running back spot. It is Jeremy Hubbard after Fowler needs a break and comes to the near side. Hubbard will be in there to block, though, as Stahl looks downfield, looking to his left. Stutter steps a couple times. Now spins away from a defender. He's got some room as he comes back to the near sideline. Throws downfield. Oh. It is caught at the 15-yard line. Stahl threaded the needle between two defenders, and it lands in the hands of John Graham, who hauls it in with his tiptoes on the 15-yard line along the sideline. That's the kind of play you do when you're playing football out on the street in the front yard. Tiptoeing the edge between the asphalt and the grass, and he did it beautifully there.
And I tell you what, you described that perfectly, Walter, because he did thread the needle. DJ Cornelius threw that play off with a zone blitz. Cedar Ridge dropped eight, and when you drop eight, you're not supposed to give up holes in coverage, but that's exactly what happened. What a throw by Stowe.
East Chapel Hill's band is rolling and rocking now as they are in business in the red zone. Stowe looks across the middle. It is complete down to the goal line. Did he get in? They'll say his knee hit the ground just before he crossed into the end zone. Ball will be on the one-yard line for first and goal for East Chapel Hill after the catch was made on the play.
It's Graham again.
By Graham.
And Graham comes up hurt, but he's going to stay in the game.
Seemed to be favoring his right side just a little bit, but he'll line up as the slot back on this next play. Three receivers, and it'll be a quarterback keeper. Stahl trying to get in the end zone. He was unsuccessful at first and then moved to his left to get in, and there is the signal as he made it across the goal line and into the end zone. Touchdown East Chapel Hill as they lead now 20-6 over the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves.
Yeah, he just followed behind the blocks, and a good job that time once again done by Ron Siminski, the guard, along with Grant Buterbaugh. They were the ones who managed to pave the way for the touchdown. And so East Chapel Hill takes a 20-6 lead. This is their largest lead of the season.
And the extra point attempt, both have been good so far tonight. And yet again, an encroachment call is going to be whistled against Cedar Ridge. I believe they've had encroachment called on at least two, maybe all three extra point attempts tonight.
Exactly.
4 minutes and 18 seconds to play. We'll give you a score update in just a moment from the Chapel Hill game that's happening, oh, not too far from our location here over on the west side of town. But first, the extra point. Llewellyn with the kick. It is up, and as it has been all night, dead through the middle and pumped up, coming out to meet his team in the middle of the field is head coach John Sherman. He is excited for his squad right now to be in the lead 21-6 over this Cedar Ridge squad with 4 minutes and 18 seconds to play. It is halftime over on the west side of Chapel Hill as the Tigers, as Paul Connell reports to us, put together an extended drive as the answer to a Jaguars score. DeSelm was intercepted by Malott inside the 20-yard line. The Jaguars back on offense. They are up 15-0 with 4 minutes left in the half at Chapel Hill. So it's 15-0. Paul reports there have been multiple dropped passes in the game that have killed Grant DeSelm's efforts to lead and rally the Tigers as they are trying to bounce back from that 15-point deficit right now.
Right now, Connor Stowalter is 9 of 13 for 178 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. 3 different Wildcats have caught passes. John Graham now the leading receiver, 4 for 56.
Stow has done a nice job to lead this East Chapel Hill team as here is the kickoff to the near sideline, and it will bounce out of bounds. And that's going to give Cedar Ridge good field position once again as the Red Wolves on their past couple of drives have either started in East Chapel Hill territory or far up in their own territory. And it looks like they're going to get another opportunity to do that here with 4 minutes and 18 seconds to play. Jeff, how important is it for Cedar Ridge to put together a drive right here and try and get in the end zone?
Well, it's extremely important because now they have to have some confidence. This is a team that is coming off a 1-win season last year. Here they are tonight coming in 0-2, and they have to have some opportunity. They got to create some opportunities. They've had chances really in this game to turn it around, but they shot themselves in the foot with 2 big turnovers.
So the ball will be on the 35-yard line for Cedar Ridge. Pappas in the shotgun takes the snap, and he will hand it off. Coming near side is Walton. Gets by one defender, shakes a second tackle, even a third as he gets to the sideline. Pickup of at least 3 on the play as he was trying to stretch it out for 4. Good hard running by Julius Walton. Only at 5 feet 7 inches tall. The junior weighs 155 pounds. Only 13 rushes on the year coming into this game, but he's getting a couple more carries as this game marches on. Trips to the right, one to the near side. Receivers, it'll be a screen pass that falls into the ground, and now we've got a whistle and a flag that came in late.
See, that was a step out screen pass. Quick hitter, I'm not sure exactly, but the flag was thrown right where Pappas threw the ball, so they're going to call intention, or excuse me, a roughing the passer call.
Passer.
That was
we were both thinking all of a sudden there was going to be an odd
intentional
grounding call, which wouldn't have made sense, but apparently some contact back there with Pappas after he made the throw.
That had to be a quick penalty because it was a quick out thrown to the far side, so apparently one of the East defenders might have struck Pappas on the head there, and that's going to cost him 15 yards.
And it's going to move the ball well forward for the Red Wolves, and a drive that was going to be in tough shape all of a sudden is in business for Cedar Ridge with still plenty of time to operate with here in the second quarter, 4 minutes and 5 seconds to go. Moves the ball across midfield to the 46, where it'll now be 1st and 10 for the team from Hillsboro.
Yeah, you want to talk about unfair, as that's exactly what happened here. And that's just something you can't have because you're looking at a third down situation here potentially. Now you're giving them a first down in your own territory.
Pappas flushed out of the pocket, running to his right. 2 East Chapel Hill defenders run into each other. Eventually Pappas gets rid of it. Ball is caught. Upfield first down for Elijah Richardson as he gets inside the 30-yard line. Pappas doing a fantastic job on that play to extend the play long enough to make it happen. We've seen him do that a couple of times tonight with the little one-handed flick he had a little bit earlier that saved a drive, and he does it again here.
And if you want to know the one area where East has matured the most, it's in quarterback pressure and run protection. They have a much better defensive line than in years past.
Cedar Ridge really turning up the tempo. Another snap. Throw across the middle. Ball caught. Down inside the 5. Down right at the 1-yard line. Maybe the 2, depending on if a knee hit the ground. Marquez Hunter with his first catch of the game. And it is not only first down for Cedar Ridge, but they are threatening to score with 3 minutes and 41 seconds to play. Ball in very good field position down at the 1-yard line.
And it all goes back to that third down play. Oh, it's coming back, though, Walter.
Oh, it
is.
Evans. There was an illegal shift call. I never saw the flag on the field,
neither
unfortunately.
Did I.
Oh, I see it where it is now. It was hidden from our vantage point by the players who are along the near sideline here as it was thrown by the linesman. And it's going to move it all the way back, erasing a beautiful pass from Pappas across the middle of the field to Marquez Hunter. But it'll have to go back to the drawing board and try again.
2 major penalties on both teams so far on this drive. If East doesn't commit that roughing the passer infraction, it's a 3rd and 9 for Cedar Ridge and its own 35. Instead, they were just moments away from having a 1st and goal at the 1 until this illegal motion penalty, which has really hampered it. Now they're battling the clock as well as the Wildcats. 3:39 remaining. Cedar Ridge still with two timeouts, to down 15.
So the ball on the 34-yard line, first and 15. And Pappas loses the ball. It goes on the ground as he was trying to evade a tackler. And he'll scurry off to the far sideline as emerging with the football for East Chapel Hill was Vince Harrington. The big 260-pounder comes up with it again. And I believe it was Ian Levin who knocked the ball loose on the play. Another big play from this East Chapel Hill defense.
Yep. Big, big play right there. And a huge play by Pappas, who wound up giving up the ball as he tried to create that scrambling ability again, Walter. And it didn't go the way he wanted to say the least. A big, big play by Levin, who comes up with the fumble and creates it.
You know how penalties can have a big impact on a game, but usually you think of them as the 15-yarders that, you know, are drive killers and that sort of thing. But this time it was an innocent, illegal shift, 5-yard penalty that killed the drive for Cedar Ridge. Connor Stout with the quarterback keeper after a fake handoff will run it up the right side of the field and gets just shy of the 45-yard line to the 44. It'll make second and a long two here for the Wildcats as they will have an opportunity, Jeff, to extend this lead even more. No need for them to take knees and try and just wind down this clock. They can go for a drive. They've got plenty of time with this passing attack. Under 3 minutes to play here in the second quarter, and they will go to the air this time as Stout throws across the middle of the field. It is caught at the 42, making his way inside the 45, the 35, down to the 30 on the play is Jack Hankins yet again with a big catch across the middle and a big first down for the Wildcats.
When you go zone, you make sure that Stout doesn't get open or find a seam, but Stout, or rather Hankins, gets a seam. Hankins wound up getting exactly that, and that's something Cedar Ridge just cannot afford to have happen.
This is some of the best football we've seen East Chapel Hill play in all of our time of broadcasting football here, Jeff. Just the way the offense is moving with the efficiency that they've had, but also, yes, they put up a lot of points as a timeout is called by Cedar Ridge here. They put up a lot of points in a lot of games last season with the great air attack that they had under Bill Renner, but boy, they're doing a great job of having a balanced attack this season and especially in this game, and I think that's what's really impressive about
it. Well, so far you got 78 yards on the ground and 204 passing yards, and Stout has had a very steady game. He is 10 of 14 for two passing touchdowns. He ran for a touchdown and has been picked off only once in this contest. East is 4 of 7 on third downs tonight, and when they've been in a rhythm, which is most of the time in this game, Walter, they've managed to keep Cedar Ridge on their heels, and usually we've seen East Chapel Hill make the big mistakes that have cost them games. That's not the case here tonight. Stow is doing a fabulous job in conducting this team, and he's still a very young man.
So Stow, a sophomore on this squad, leading this team to victory here so far tonight. 21-6, the score. Wildcats in the lead and driving yet again. It's first and 10, ball on the 30-yard line. Two receivers to the left. He looks to throw that direction and does. Pass is complete. And the receiver, Justin Douglas, on the play makes the catch. Gets inside the 25-yard line, but now he's a little bit slow to get up, and we've got an official timeout as the East Chapel Hill trainers will make their way out onto the field. Hopefully this is just a cramping issue as Douglas was taken down to the ground.
Yeah, he was taken down the play by Julius Walton by his ankles, and looks like they're stretching out his leg right now after that gain of 6 just a moment ago. You mentioned balance, though, Walter. So far in the game, we've also seen a lot of versatility, I think, from East Chapel Hill. Maybe Hartford Zirkle can touch on this as well as we'll go down to the sidelines for him right now. And Hartford, I know that there has to be a lot of confidence on this east sideline right now. Can you tell us what's going on down there?
Yes.
What's going on the sidelines right now, Walt Hartford?
Well, it looks like we're having some technical difficulties hearing from Hartford down along the sideline as getting up on the play and walking over to the near sideline.
Yeah,
is
one thing that's really just crazy about the Wildcats right now is head coach John Sherman is going absolutely nuts up and down the sidelines.
So he is pumped up along the sidelines and is really trying to instill his energy into the rest of his team, as we saw after that one touchdown him come out to about the hash mark out onto the field to encourage his team and celebrate with them after they put up their last score to make it 21-6. With 2.5 minutes to play now, it's second down. East needing to get to the 20-yard line for a first. Man in motion to the far side of the field. It'll be a keeper by Stow as he looks to break off to the left side. Ooh. Takes a hard hit right at the first down marker, but bounces right back up. Didn't see the player that got in there on the hit, Jeff, but a good job by Stow to stay with the ball.
It was Ben Rice once again, who's the hardest hitting man in that secondary, and he wasn't going to let get Stow get that first down, and sure enough, he stopped, and it looks like a little shy of the chain.
And so it's going to bring up third and short, but plenty of options here for East on this play. We saw Stow do a quarterback keeper to get into the end zone. We'll see if he does the same thing at the first down. This time he gets a better push on that offensive line, follows them straight forward across the 20, and that will be a first down for East Chapel Hill. And it moves the sticks with a minute 44 seconds to play here in the second quarter.
Another good job by Anthony Burns. He was the man who paved the way that time on that offensive front that led to the first down.
So it'll be first and 10 now with the ball on the 19-yard line.
Whole East front's been very, very solid.
They sure have. Clock still winding down, inside a minute and a half to go. It'll be a handoff. Ooh, a high tackle as Fowler basically got clotheslined on the play, getting his big arms in front of the running path was Dante Scott, the 5'11", 220-pound sophomore. Stopped that play with emphasis, drops East for a loss back across the 20-yard line, and now East Chapel Hill is going to call a timeout at second of the half.
And Laz Boldick was right behind them. Cedar Ridge brought the house that time. They blitzed. It looks like eight. They left only three in coverage, and sure enough, they guessed correctly that time. So it's going to be second and 13. East just spent its final timeout, Walter, now with, as you mentioned, 1 minute 20 seconds remaining.
WCHL Championship Sports High School Games of the Week are presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill and in Hillsboro AAI Nationwide Insurance. 1:20 to play, 21-6 is the score. Wildcats on top of the Red Wolves. We will at halftime have scores from other games across the area that we'll look to compile. We'll also bring you stats from tonight's first half of play as well.
And we'll have plenty of things to talk about here tonight, Walter. We're looking forward to getting a score from Orange tonight. And conference play is only a couple weeks away for the Big Eight schools, including Cedar Ridge.
Very good point. So second and long now for East Chapel Hill after the debacle on first down. Stout rolls to the near sideline. He's got a man open in the end zone, throws it, and it is almost intercepted. Never having complete control of the ball, Julius Walton almost had his second pick. As he caught it, kind of landed on the ground and just had it fumbling around in his arms, eventually losing it into the end zone. And that'll make it third down and 12.
That was an important play right there by Walton to come up with a defensive stand and some good coverage that time. And five will get you 10, that Jack Hankins is the man that Stowe is going to be going for.
So third down, they need to get to the 9-yard line for the first here on third and 12. Hankins is along the near sideline in isolation against Walton.
I think East is unclear what the call is.
Taking a long time to get the playoff, and they're going to have to call another timeout.
Oh, we had them down for three timeouts already. Well, apparently I might have mislabeled that, but regardless.
I had them with two.
Okay.
So that should be number three. I believe you marked Cedar Ridge's timeout earlier East is. Timeout. So we will get the whistle and another timeout here with a minute 13 seconds to play. 21-18 the score. Wildcats over Cedar Ridge.
Looking at the numbers tonight, Walter, looking at the passing numbers here for, we mentioned what East Chapel Hill's done. Peyton Pappas hasn't had the worst night throwing the ball. He's 7 of 10 for 116 yards. Rushing the football, though, Cedar Ridge only has 14 yards on 11 carries. 1 yard a carry isn't going to get you very far.
No, it's not. Not against this East Chapel Hill defense and the way they've been plugging up that front line so far tonight. But it's the offense that has been rolling recently, trying to continue it here as they get the snap in. We have got flags as they run the option. The pitch is all the way back at midfield. East is trying to jump on it, and they eventually do, all the way back at the 41-yard line. I believe there's going to be an illegal motion called on the play anyway, but Fowler was at least alert enough to get back there, cover up the ball, and keep Cedar Ridge from being able to pounce on it.
Yeah, Stowe wound up at the 28, losing the football.
And it comes all the way back outside the 40, so obviously Cedar Ridge will decline the penalty. And instead of 4th and 12, it's going to knock them all the way back
to the
inside the 41-yard line. It will make, they got to get to the 9 for the first down, and they are going to go for it.
Huh.
Rather than punting the ball, they're going to just say, let's go ahead and go for it with a minute, 6 seconds to play.
Well, you're looking at a 4th and 32 here.
I didn't realize that East had Ray Rice on the team. But maybe they've got something up their sleeves here. Maybe they were thinking Cedar Ridge might encroach. Maybe they'll take some time to think about it now. Cedar Ridge, meanwhile, has called a timeout. We know East is definitely out of timeouts now, so it had to be Cedar Ridge with the whistle.
They have one timeout.
With a minute, 3 seconds to play.
That could have been disaster, and it didn't look like Stowe was all that confident about that play to begin with, because the second it ended a moment ago, he just threw his arms up to the sideline as if to say, what kind of call was that?
Well, they went to their money play the play before that,
mm-hmm,
when they tried to throw it into the end zone looking for Hankins. And so it's almost kind of like they didn't want to do the same play again, the same strategy, so let's try and come up with something else. Now, I guess you've got a couple of plays in the playbook for situations like this on fourth down with the ball on the 41-yard line, trying to get to the 9 for the first down.
Let's see, they're going to reset the clock here.
To 1 minute exactly?
1:01 exactly, okay. 1:06 actually is where they're going to reset it. So Cedar Ridge with one timeout.
Now it's been reset to 10 minutes.
Ten.
And the referees are realizing that now, and that they'll have to get it fixed here.
Yep. Hit enter, maybe. I'm sitting right beside the scorekeeper here, and we're trying to get through this.
Sometimes,
these students making their own amusement. That's good.
Yeah, sometimes the machines just don't like to cooperate with us here. That looks like 10.6 on the clock now.
Yeah, the head official wants to make it 1 minute and 6 seconds. Well, regardless...
The scorekeeper, unfortunately, catching a lot of flack from the sidelines here. Obviously, the problem is known, and he's trying to fix it. But either way, East is going to go for it on fourth down here, and it's going to be an interesting play to decide to do this, Jeff, because,
yeah,
I mean, based on how the last play went, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position here. If something goes wrong on this play, for Cedar Ridge to either possibly come up with a turnover based on you maybe calling a strange play like on the last one, or even if it's just an incomplete pass, Cedar Ridge also has great field position with less than a minute to play.
That's true, and you don't want to give Cedar Ridge any more a blood transfusion, because they've had several opportunities in this game to get back into the contest, but they just cost themselves. They had the situation here just a moment ago where they could have had a first and goal at the one-yard line of East, but they got hit with an illegal motion penalty, and that was after East Chapel Hill gave them new life on a drive after a roughing the passer call. Cedar Ridge really has been its own worst enemy, and you can't expect that from a team that is used to winning, but unfortunately that's been the case a lot of times with Cedar Ridge tonight. Both these teams have lost opportunities to score, but unfortunately for them, and for Cedar Ridge in particular, they've had opportunities to get back in this game and haven't taken advantage of them.
To make this entire exchange even a little bit crazier, the clock is just not cooperating. It's not allowing that 6 seconds to get thrown up on the board, and it's caused a very, very long delay leading up to this 4th and 32 play.
Yep.
And it looks like they're going to just go ahead, and they have 10 minutes and 6 again up on the clock. East's offense is ready to roll. And it looks like the referees are ready to just continue without the clock. They're going to keep their own clock, it looks like.
Yep, minute 6 remaining here.
So,
officially,
Jeff, start counting backwards in your head, okay?
Okay.
66.
Yeah. We'll do that. And also, two pass completions equal a first down. Quick
and
kick.
They're going to pooch kick it here. It's going to be fielded at the 11-yard line. Cutting back to the right on the play is Hunter. Hunter gets by two defenders. Now trying to get by a third. Makes his way across the 20-yard line to the 23 before being taken down. And we'll say 6 seconds went off the clock there, and it's 1 minute to play here in the first half with the score 21-6 East. So all of that excitement about a possible 4th and 32-yard needed conversion ends up just being a pooch kick along the sideline. Disappointed, actually.
Yeah, so was I. I was expecting more fireworks out of that, but quick kicks are always fun. You can't complain about that. Looks like the type of backyard play you expect, too.
Exactly. Here's Cedar Ridge. They have a minute to work with, and they'll flick it over that offensive line and getting it up to Walton, and he got past most of the offensive line, but there was a big bear claw that came in and grabbed him and dragged him down from behind as East Chapel Hill's offense was able to catch back, or defense was able to catch back up to him. Josh Baldwin, the 290-pounder, getting there in time to haul him down after a gain of 5.
Well, we don't have a game clock right now, and so the officials, for some reason, okay, they called that a spike, so it's going to be third down.
So third down is now the situation for Cedar Ridge, 21-6 the score, under a minute to play. We don't have an official clock right now as Pappas is in trouble and gets swarmed under back in the backfield. He just goes down without really having to be touched by East Chapel Hill. Looking frustrated on the play was Issy Settles, who came up with the fumble recovery a little bit earlier on in the quarter. And he wanted to lay a hit on Pappas on that play and was frustrated that Pappas just went down so easily. But I would say that's a heads-up play by Pappas.
Now there's confusion about whether or not Cedar Ridge spiked that ball a moment ago on second down and whether it should be second down.
I think they're third down.
They're saying that there was no spike on the play. The officials reacted like they did,
which would make the third down instead of fourth down. So now they will have to call an official timeout. And now they're going to just call the end of the first half as, I guess, whatever clock and time they were keeping down along the sideline, the referees have determined that time has run out on the first half. Well, what a bizarre way to end the half. Just very, very strange last minute and 6 seconds there. But nonetheless, it's 21-6. East Chapel Hill with the lead over the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves. Walter Storholt here alongside Jeff Hamlin as we will try and get a word from the head coach of East Chapel Hill as they're walking off the field as Hartford Zirkle is going to try and go and catch up with John Sherman, the head coach of the Wildcats. And we'll see if he can get there in time before they scurry off the field of play. As 21-6 is our score, and it looks like he is there. We will go down to Hartford Zirkle.
Well,
unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties with our wireless microphone. It just has a very narrow range. It can be temperamental at times. But we'll talk to Hartford Zirkle when he comes back up here in a few moments and find out exactly what the head coach of East Chapel Hill, John Sherman, had to say about his team's first half performance. 21-6 the score. Wildcats with the lead over Cedar Ridge. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Newstalk 1360 WCHL and Chapelboro.com.